Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome back into Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you, and working to get Beau Marchant with us to talk some NFL. A lot to get to. Obviously, last Thursday we had the schedule release in the NFL. Brett had us covered with that, brought in some great notes from the schedule release. But a lot of news around the NFL as we're getting off the NFL draft, and teams are starting to kind of figure out what things are going to look like next season. Now that we have the schedule in front of us, teams can really start game planning for the season. So I know we talked a lot about the schedule release last Friday, but anything over the weekend that kind of jumped out to you about the schedules that we didn't really mention last week?
Well, just how we're going to all the international games, yeah. And you see the story today that the NFL, they're going to okay up to 10 international games for next year. And teams can't protect it. I mean, if they tell you to go, you're going.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. We talked about it on Friday, looking at the schedule and all of these international games that we have right now. It's not slowing down. We're only going to get more international games. The NFL has told us each and every year with more and more games in different places that they like going internationally, and they're going to continue to do that. They see the market out there. They see that people are going to come. People are going to buy merchandise for those teams that are playing internationally, and so they view it as an opportunity to make more money, sell more tickets, and kind of grow their footprint internationally and not just here at home. And so, yeah, I mean, we were joking on Friday about the different places that they could go that they haven't been or the different games that they could add, but, you know, it's only going to grow, and we're only going to see more. And right now, I like the international games because it's kind of fun to have that early morning, you know, 8 a.m. game kicking off, but you know, if we keep stretching it and adding more and more games, I mean, there's got to be a point where the NFL has to say, okay, we've reached our limit on international games, but right now I don't see that stopping point.
I don't think that limit will get reached until we add the 18th game, yeah. And they have said they will have an international game a week when we get to that. In that story today, last week, you know, I mentioned what's next, and it mentions Japan with travel complexities, but they'll figure it out.
Yeah, no, that's the thing, is you can bring up all the concerns and all the issues that might be in the way, but the NFL is going to find a way to make it work. You know, we've seen them in recent years. I know the Jaguars are the popular team for it, where they'll send one team out there and they'll stay out there, you know, 2 or 3 weeks.
Back-to-back weeks for the Jags this year.
Oh, wow, so they're doing it again this year. I didn't even notice that. So, you know, they're finding ways to not make it as hard, and so, you know, I hate it for those markets. Obviously, it's not something we have to deal with here, not in an NFL market. But, you know, if the Jaguars are out there for 2 weeks, I mean, you can make the argument of, oh, well, the Cowboys are playing an international game. That's not a game that's taken away from home. It's just an away game that you don't really care, because that game would have been in Baltimore if it's not in internationally. But for these teams that are going to be out there multiple weeks, now you start getting into that conversation of, now you're taking away, and obviously with the Jaguars, it's very different. They've got the stadium issue going on where they're in transition right now. But, you know, you start getting to that point where you're starting to take away games from those home teams. And, you know, like you said, it's only going to grow, and we're only going to see more of it.
We will. And the formal announcement today about Nashville and the Super Bowl and the party zone, and it should be in Nashville, and what's after that? Mm-hmm. Will Nashville, is this one of those bouquets for building a dome like Minneapolis got, mm-hmm. like it wasn't a dome, but the cold weather outdoor Super Bowl in New York City? They're not going to try that again. What other ones have just kind of gotten one? Well, Dallas, Jerry's World, just to get one.
Yeah. No, it's a good question.
You wonder if they're in a regular mix like Atlanta. I read a story that Miami's been told, hard to believe, that Hard Rock not up to the specs for anymore.
that's hard to believe. But, I mean, you look around and you see all of these new domes that are getting built and how nice these places are. So, yeah, very surprising. But, you know, I don't know. That's the big question. And, you know, I've seen some people talking about, obviously, like you said, with the official announcement today, you know, it's been known for a couple weeks now that they were going to go to Nashville once that dome got put up. But with the official news today, a lot of people are talking and just, you know, how many more hotels. I don't remember who tweeted this out, but somebody tweeted out where the amount of hotels they have right now, there's going to be like, in terms of hotel rooms, there's going to be like 20,000 more hotel rooms available by the time we get to 2030 in downtown Nashville. And so, you know, they're obviously
where are they putting them?
They're putting.
I tell you where something's coming down and it's news going up.
That's right, but. I mean, the story of the hockey arena. They're going to put a hotel on top of that. I mean, they're getting creative where they're putting hotel spaces in
Bridgestone or new hockey arena.
At Bridgestone, yeah, they're remodeling it, and they're going to put a fancy restaurant and hotels and everything on top of it. It's going to go vertical, and it's going to be a hotel. So they're
incredible.
Getting real creative.
And we know coming soon. With expanded college football playoff, they're going to be in a mix with either through the Music City Bowl or just standalone hosting a college football national championship.
Yeah.
They'll be involved in Final Fours. Mm-hmm. Here's something else they'll get. They'll get political conventions.
Yeah, no,
they'll
they get definitely will.
One of the two.
Mm-hmm. No, they absolutely will. I mean, it's going to be big time. It's huge for, you know.
Maybe both.
they could. Who knows? But, you know.
There have been towns that have had both in the same year.
Is that right? Wow.
Yeah.
Be careful with that. But, no, I mean, it's huge. You know, you look at any city, to get a dome like that is huge for just all the different things that you can do there. And so, yeah, Nashville, you know, we talk about all the time of it's a booming city. It's a city certainly still on the rise, and they're going to take advantage of that, and they're going to host a lot of big-time events in that dome.
Yeah, the schedule out for everybody, and we're getting close to a lot of OTAs.
Yeah, no, we're getting really close to things really kicking off, and so it's a fun time, and you know, it feels like each and every day we're getting more news. And the other news today, you know, really, really unfortunate news of Chiefs receiver Rashee Rice, who has been sentenced to serve 30 days in jail after testing positive for marijuana, which is a violation of the terms of his probation after that crash that left multiple people injured 2 years ago. So, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, the Chiefs have kind of been waiting for Rashee Rice to kind of get his act together. And it's one of those things where, you know, he knows he's on probation. He knows those rules, and now getting dinged for marijuana, and we'll miss the start of OTAs for that.
Yeah. And people can talk all they want of the, you know, the in mass legalization of marijuana at a lot of places. But if it is specifically said, and it was in part of his parole agreement, you're not to. And you do, and you're caught, then you're going to pay the penalty.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. There are a lot of things when it comes to you know, people and their probation that, hey, you know, everyday Joe, maybe he can do that, and it wouldn't be an issue, or wouldn't be as big of an issue. But they list those things for a reason, and you know, they hold you to that standard not to violate any of those things. And so, you know, just hate to see that, because, you know, really, Rashee Rice, it just feels like, you know, every about 6 months we see some sort of headline with him. And you know, the Chiefs, there's still so much unknown about what this season will look like for them. You know, when will they get Mahomes on the field? And you know, you've got
opening day.
You think so? You think he's going to be ready opening day? So, I mean, that will be huge. But what does the team look like around him? What does he look like, you know, coming off that injury? Will he be at 100%? You know, they need all guys, you know, on deck for them. And, you know, right now, having him miss the start of OTAs is just not a good sign for the start of the season.
Was last year or is this year last dance for Kansas City?
I think they've got one more run in them. I think if you can keep Patrick Mahomes healthy, I think he's certainly that talented that I think you can have one more kind of go for it. And then I think if they can make a deep run this year, I think that's when you kind of see, all right, Kelce calls it quits. You know, a couple other guys call it quits on that team. change of the coaching staff, and you see a really different Kansas City organization.
Big ESPN.com story today at their NFL section about Kansas City, and, of course, with Rice, but also about in June when football comes to Kansas City and World Cup fever. They're talking about it being the biggest event in the history of Kansas City.
Wow.
They've had AFC championship games.
That's right. Yeah, that's
punch tickets to Super Bowls.
Wow, that's big time. Yeah, I saw this.
And I'll be in the middle of
you
it.
You will. I was about to say, I thought it was Kansas City that you were, it is. You were going to. So, yes. Yeah,
Curacao in Ecuador.
That's right.
Got my ticket and everything.
I love it.
And my ticket, after the whole process of it. It will be delivered later. That was the whole issue.
Okay.
It's coming a little bit later.
I see. Okay. But it is going to be a digital ticket, right?
Everything.
Cool.
Is.
Yeah. So I still don't understand.
I think you walked up
that.
With a $10 bill there, they'd laugh at you.
I think so. But I still don't understand that, though, because I have also had that happen to me where I'll order a digital ticket and it'll be like, it will be delivered to you before the event. And I'm like, well, why? This is digital.
Send it on.
Yeah, just give it to me right now. Like, what is the holdup? So that I feel like that's weird, but it'll come through. It won't be an issue. But yeah,
that's the weekend of Cardinals Royals in Kansas City Interleague. I'm going to Cardinals Royals on Friday night. I really want to see that stadium, and you know, it's at the end. Uh-huh. But I've heard such great things about it. And it's on the same property of Arrowhead, so it'll be Friday night at Cardinals Royals. Saturday. At Arrowhead, and then Cardinals and Royals are playing again on Saturday or Sunday. No game on Saturday. They're getting out of the way for World Cup that Saturday.
Wow, that is incredible.
A rare Saturday open date.
Yeah, that is very rare, but that is incredible. And so, yeah, I mean, people excited for the World Cup, and you know, now you're seeing a lot of the NFL guys. I know we've talked about it, but the fact that these teams have had to put the grass down for the World Cup, that a lot of NFL players are seeing that as an opening to
The original grass doctor was Kansas City with George Toma.
Right.
He's Phil Maestro. I don't know if he's still with us, though.
Well, hopefully he is. But you know, a lot of teams and a lot of players kind of seeing this as an opening to try to get grass instead of turf, and we'll see if maybe World Cup can maybe be that opening for them. I don't know.
Great, Scott. Not only still with us, but at the prime age of 97.
How about that? Still kicking. Love
Go
that.
Get him, George.
Good for him. Glad we didn't have to give
attended
out
any RIDs. Every Super Bowl from 67 to 2023.
Wow.
Nicknamed the Sod Father.
That's wow. Great. Oh, that is really good. Well, you talk about him still being with us. Look who's with us now, Bo Marchant. He's
well, we're about to send the we're yeah, about we to were. Send out the search party, Bo, because
really
you're steady Eddie every week. I was worried.
Yeah.
You know what? We're driving through Arizona, and we just went into a signal patch. Obviously, when I have to go on, and yeah, so we're out of the signal patch, and here, so we're back. So yeah, all's good. Just you know, just in a dead zone, and unfortunately, but I apologize though.
Bo, you wrote a great story at Sports Grid about the running backs, the lack of running backs. NFL draft set a historic low for running backs. The decline of running backs from 1970 to 2026. Just when I think we're kind of working the run game back, only Jeremiah Love, Jadarian Price, and Kalen Black get in the first 100 picks.
Yeah, and that was the lowest, and basically the lowest since the football began, because it was a running game from the get-go. So, back in the old days, they had so many drafts. So I just figured I'd go off the merger. And the funny thing, Brett, is I started going back, and once I got to, 2006, I'm like, 2000, I'm like, it's only going to get higher. You know, there wasn't ever, George Rogers and Eric Dickerson and all these guys going early. You knew there wasn't going to be three in the top three rounds. And it's kind of crazy, because I even thought this running back was, deep. Emmett Johnson out of Nebraska, Catron Allen out of Penn State. I thought these guys would be at least, third or fourth round picks. And those guys are, Emmett went in the fifth. I think Kalon was a sixth round pick. But when you're getting picked in the sixth or seventh round, those are kind of like flyer picks. Like, hey, we hope you make the team. Maybe you become a special teams guy. You hope for the best. But nonetheless, I just thought that was we got caught up in the two first round running backs and and Jeremiah Smith, or Jeremiah Love, we considered him to be like maybe the best prospect in the entire draft. And then lo and behold, you kind of come to realize that, yeah, the elite talent will go high, but it's still a position where they kind of diminish the value of it, and that it's represented in those guys not going as high as they used to.
All right, today the formal announcement of Nashville getting the Super Bowl for February, mid to late February of 2030. This is for Landon. He may have already asked you this. By then, by Super Bowl 64, can Cam Ward and the Titans be going for it?
Oh, man, that's a loaded question, especially on Memphis Sports 56. You know what? Hey, listen, if he develops and they really turn things around, yeah, it's all going to come down to Cam Ward. If he doesn't become the guy, then it's never going to happen. I mean, it's going to be, you know, they're going to be drafting another quarterback by 2030, and, you know, they'll be, you know, that'll be the situation. So they got a lot of work to do. But, I would just say, listen, anything's possible. If you told us last year that Sam Darnold was going to be the guy that led the Seahawks to the championship and look as good as he have, we all would have said, no, we'll pass on that. We'll take all the other options and Josh Allen and Stafford and all the other big names. So, you know, you can't rule it out. Put it this way, I would say no. I'd lean more to the I don't think it's going to happen, but that's the beauty of it. If it does happen, I'm not going to be shocked. But it does count down to Cam Ward. And I like Robert Saleh. You know, I think he did a decent job in New York, and New York can't get out of its own way. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know who can go fix the New York Jets. I mean, Aaron Glenn, I'm surprised even last. I mean, I think Aaron Glenn will be on the hot seat going into next year just because of how bad they were. So, yeah. But they added a lot of weapons, but, you know, we'll see.
Yeah. Bo, last Thursday we had the official schedule release. Not much released in the schedule because we had all the leaks throughout the week. But did what jumped out to you, anything jump out to you about the schedule release as a whole?
Yeah, the one thing I actually was a little – I didn't like the Rams and the Seahawks in the final – two of the final 3 weeks. You know, because I think, you know, the season to me is a little bit of momentum. You know, you might start the season off hot, then you have a little bit of a lull, then you maybe you get hot back at the end or vice versa. You know, you start out 6-1, and now you're 6-4, and you're struggling. I think of injuries, you know, if it's anything even somewhat significant, just say you get – you know, you get hurt in that, you're going to miss the first Rams-Seahawks matchup. You might miss all three of them, or you might miss the next one. You might be out 3 weeks. So I don't like it when they're so close together. I think it's, you know, if you have a big injury, you know, it's just put it this way. I mean, more likely that, you know, if you're hurt week, just say if they played week two, and we don't know. It's random. We don't know injuries, but, you know, by just say week 10, you should be back. You know, but, you know, you get hurt week 12 or week 11, who knows how much time you're going to miss. So that was the one thing that stood out. And then obviously with the Steelers, me and my wife have a tradition on Black Friday that there's a little outlet and we kind of go and, you know, we get all our Christmas shopping done because we get good deals for the kids.
All right.
And the Steelers have a Friday, Black Friday game with the Broncos that night. So that's going to, they're going to make me cost more money at Christmas time because
man,
I'm going to have to go work, but still not make as much money to cover the Christmas bills.
You need to take that up with them. I mean, you're like, Steelers, what are we doing? I mean, you need to throw that around. I was looking around today, and I saw CBS Sports posted a story kind of late. This is actually going back to 2023, but it made me think of this because we're now a couple weeks after the NFL draft. I don't think we asked you this specific question about this year's draft. The story was regrading the 2023 NFL draft, but I'm curious for this draft, who would you give kind of an A plus? We don't do pluses and minuses on this show, but who would you give kind of that A draft this season?
Oh, man. I mean, I think everyone, you kind of go to both of the New York teams just because they had so many picks, and it doesn't look like any of their picks were, you know, like totally off the wall and goofy. You know what, Brad, I'll actually give you a little love. I think the Cowboys moving up and getting Caleb Downs and then getting...
You weren't even playing for it. You got your love.
Yeah.
So, and with that, but we'll let you do with pluses and minuses.
That's right. It's an A plus.
Yeah, that I really believe, you know, Caleb Downs, it's a positional thing with safety, kind of like a running back. You know, they're not gonna take this guy over a defensive back or a DN or a tackle. So he slipped a little bit. But listen, like I told you guys before, when Nick Saban says you're one of the most fantastic human beings and athletes that he's ever coached, that's to me, if I'm any GM in any room, I'm like, well, we're dropping down to whatever we pick. We know that we're getting Caleb Downs, and that's the guy we're taking.
Yeah, and not only that endorsement, and that's his position. That's Nick Saban's specialty.
Yeah, like I said, when I heard that, and then you watch him play too. I mean, the one thing when I watch Caleb Downs play is he's so good at everything, it doesn't look like he's that, not that good, but he's just always doing the right thing. And, you know, he's not the fastest, he's not the biggest, but when you put it all together, it just works. You know, that, I guess that's the way to say it. You're not going to think, wow, this guy's going to wow you with these vicious hits, or, you know, he's not the Sean Taylor of hits, and he's not the Ed Reed of playmaking. But as a collective of all his abilities, you know, he's kind of like a Superman, and that's about as nice a compliment as I think I could give you.
What's the most the Steelers can get out of Aaron Rodgers as far as playoff advancement?
Hey, listen, being around the new coaching staff and Mike McCarthy, I did a story last week. I mean, he has an offensive coordinator, and he's the offensive coordinator, McCarthy. But, he has an offensive coordinator. He has a quarterback coach. He has a quarterback coach to the quarterback coach. He has an assistant coach to the quarterback coach. So that quarterback position is going to be so, you know, worked through. And just seeing him work with Drew Aller during rookie minicamp. I mean, there was 6 or 7 coaches around Drew Aller just doing his positional drills. I think this could be a renaissance, if you will, for Aaron Rodgers. It's a match made in heaven. Those guys know each other. The Steelers added more offensive pieces. And I was teasing with, our local guys. If Aaron Rodgers plays well, and I really do think he's going to play well, you know, he had some of the better numbers, he hasn't had, his completion percentage was up, the touchdowns were down, but the Steelers' offense wasn't up to snuff. I think with McCarthy running the offense and just the mindset of how he can make an offense work, I think Aaron Rodgers should really put up some nice numbers. And I say this just because if they play well and he has a fantastic season and maybe they win a playoff game, they're going to be going through this next season where they're going to be waiting until May before Aaron Rodgers signs another contract with the Steelers, because he's not going to walk away.
Where are y'all driving to in Arizona, Bo?
We arrived in Phoenix, and we're making our way through to Sedona. Future son-in-law is going to propose. She knows she's getting proposed to, but he's going to propose to her in Sedona, and then they're big BTS fans, and then we're going to Vegas to see BTS on the weekend. So,
cool. Heck yeah! Now you're working in runs, aren't you? You're not breaking the streak, are you?
Oh no, yeah, the runs are always. Yeah, trust me. That's the only reason I wake up every day is I got my runs planned out 10 days in advance. So
I love that.
But yeah, but it's a little overwhelming when you get out to these places because you just pull off the side of the road and, you know, run up a canyon or something, or go down a canyon, I should say.
Yeah, it's a little different out there.
And you've always said, I know it's got to be warm to hot out there, but you prefer running in the extreme cold.
Yeah, I do nice thing. You know, it really comes down, I don't mind the cold at all, but I do like the seasons and the change. Like, a nice, 80-degree day and it's sunny, beautiful. I'll take that. But, I don't want San Diego every day where it's 80 and sunny every single day. I mean, as a runner, if you run every day, I want my mind to expand and get a little bored, I guess.
Can you imagine being the local weatherman right now in Phoenix? You know what the forecast is for the next 10 days? 0% chance of rain. Zero. Next 10.
That's what I told my wife. I said, you're driving through here and you're like, really, what's the... maybe an earthquake. I don't even know. Like, there's no hurricanes, tornadoes. It's kind of like a safe haven for weather. You don't got to worry about
dust storm
like that.
Always be on alert for dust storm, Bo.
Yeah. Well, I hope I don't get caught in a dust storm. But and I apologize for the drop zone. By the way, guys, I was
fine.
Gagging.
You're fine. No, I'm right. The only person that went to the Fiesta Bowl and almost froze to death.
Well, hey, Brett, this is a true story. When the Shrine Game used to be down in St. Pete's, Florida, you go down and it's January, St. Pete's. The weather's 50, 60 degrees, so it's not cold. It's definitely warmer than Ohio. But there's a couple practices just the way the weather hit me. I don't know why. I remember I had to leave practice and go sit in the car. And I would just sit there and yell at myself.
In St. Pete.
I could run with no clothes on in 2-degree weather for 10 miles. And then I can't sit and watch practice with a hoodie on. But I got so cold, I told my buddy, give me the keys. He's like, what are you doing? I go, I got to go sit in the car. I go, I'm freezing.
I can't
goes,
tell
you. I go, you know, really? He goes, what are you doing? I go, Neil, I'm serious, man. I go, I don't know what's going on. I go, I'm freezing. I need to go sit in the car and turn on the heat. And I did.
That's hilarious. Well, Bo, thanks for calling in.
And congratulations.
And, yes, very much so. Congratulations.
Thank you. And again, guys, I apologize. I try to make it sure I never miss. And, yeah, I we're driving and then, you know, the
I'll show you the text chain. We were worried
because you are like clockwork every week, and we appreciate.
I know,
that.
Like I got it. Yeah, I even got like you know, I even had my phone set, but like it was like I couldn't get the signal. That's what was even worse. Like, there's nothing worse when you're ready and you can't do it. You know what I mean?
No, that is the worst.
But I do
appreciate.
Apologize.
No, we appreciate you, Bo. You're
much
so good with us. So we'll take whatever we can get from you. But enjoy the rest of your week. Enjoy Arizona, and we'll talk to you again next Tuesday.
All right. Apologize again, and stay safe, gentlemen.
Thanks, Bo. Bo Marchant joining us to talk the NFL, and Bo doesn't need to do any apologizing to us. He's so good to us.
He's great.
We do not need an apology from him at all. I mean, I was happy he called in. I mean, he could have
run
just
it through
said,
the desert. Like that's where Forrest Gump called it quits. Was in the desert, wasn't
right.
it?
Right. It was.
Don't stop running, Bo.
No, Bo is kind of modern day Forrest Gump. He's just always
really
running. He running. I love that. Even on vacation, daughter getting proposed to, he's still making time to go out there and run. He's getting at it however he can. But let's go ahead and get to another break. And when we return, we'll talk about what's trending.
National Football League Talk.
Not
every
only can
Tuesday
you listen to your favorite shows on Sports 56, you can also watch video of the shows live on Twitter and YouTube. Watch and listen every day
at Sports 56 WHBQ.
Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome back in Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you as we've got a little bit less than 30 minutes left in today's show. Got to talk about what's trending, and earlier we talked about R.J. Lewis Jr. committing to LSU after signing a, if I have it right, a two-way deal with Salt Lake City, and then a Exhibit 10, I think, with Boston.
Traded for Georgie Nang.
How about that? So it was even involved in a trade in the NBA, and now is going to try to play college basketball at LSU. But now it's being reported, and I don't know if this is true or not, but a social media account on Twitter is reporting that 22-year-old Italian native Salio Niang has committed to LSU. Niang was drafted 58th overall by the Cleveland Cavaliers in last year's draft. He played this past season at Bologna of the Euro League. So, adding another guy that has been drafted in the NBA. I think that's the third guy on his roster that has been drafted by an NBA team.
Well, when we were talking with Brent, what's next after a playoff for college football? For mm-hmm. college football and for college basketball, I think some type of age limit may have to be discussed.
Yeah, it's got to be. It's got to be. And so, you know, I think the idea is that by implementing the 5-for-5, hopefully that kind of plays in terms of an age limit and helps some of this. But right now, when you just have nothing, when you're just bringing guys in, there's really nothing to stop any team from going out and getting these older European guys, you know, looking at the ages of these guys that Will Wade has brought in. This is according to College Basketball Report on social media. He has added a 25-year-old, a 23-year-old, 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 22-year-old, 23-year-old, 22-year-old, and 20-year-old. So, I mean, you're talking about old dudes that have been playing at the top level in Europe for multiple years, now coming and playing college basketball in the SEC. I mean, it's wild out here.
And that's what drives John Calipari crazy, mm-hmm. these teams getting old. And he mm-hmm. makes the case, and I think I agree with him, that we're inhibiting and maybe ending the dreams of some 18, 19-year-old that's the normal age mm-hmm. for freshmen on campus in anything.
No, they definitely are. Definitely are. And you're seeing, you know, a lot of guys now that would go and play Division One or play at a pretty decent mid-major, maybe even high-major players, they're being overlooked now. It's now go out there and try to get a transfer portal guy. If you can't get a transfer portal guy, go get one of these older guys internationally and bring them in to fill that spot. And yeah, these high school guys that are here in the United States that are playing, you know, EYBL and high school basketball, you know, they don't have as many opportunities now because of all the different avenues. And look, I'm very open. I'm very for an opportunity for international guys to come over and play college basketball. But there's got to be some sort of ruling, some sort of restrictions, some sort of limits, because what we can't have is these 24, 25-year-old guys that have already been drafted.
That are pros.
Yeah, they've stayed over in Europe and coming over and playing.
How old was Cameron Dean for Ole Miss last year?
I actually do not know. I have to go look that up.
But if the shoe fits, we're going to wear it. At some point, you've got to get in to the age thing. Now you go back to DeAndre Williams, and we wanted him to have his chance. The same for Trinidad Chambliss in football. I'm crossing currents here, but if we're going to implement an age max, I think all those would have fit in it.
No, it should. And I know we all wanted DeAndre Williams. He didn't deserve another year. He had played his basketball. He had
his shot at college.
Exactly. It's time to go to the next level, wherever that might be. Good luck to you. But it's not here in college basketball, and you've got to protect. Even though we're paying players and money is out there, there still has to be some sort of amateurness to it. And the only part of amateurness that is now in college sports is the age range, is having these guys that come in from high school, play 4 or 5 years, and then go to the next level, wherever that might be. And you've got to keep that. Cameron Dean, I think, is fine. He's 22 years old. I'm completely fine with a guy like that coming over and playing college basketball. That does not bother me in the slightest.
But he was quintessentially a pro.
Sure, that's fine. That's fine. Because in Europe, it's so different from what it is here. And so I think you have to have an avenue for those guys to come
over. How
young
do they make them pros?
Oh, it's 15.
16, 17?
Oh, yeah. No, it's very young. I mean,
wasn't Don Chick a very young pro?
He was. He absolutely was. And so, that's the only avenue over there is if they see you as kind of a middle school, high school player over there, they put you in their system, you grow in that system, and when you become good enough, they make you a professional player. It might not be in the very top of the league, but you become a professional, you make money playing basketball. And so, there still, I think at least, has to be that opportunity for those guys to come over here and play college basketball. But you've got to have some sort of restrictions. You've got to have some sort of rules. And that's where it gets hard because, what is saying that this 22-year-old guy that played in the, second league in France can come over here and play, but this 24-year-old in the highest, Euro league, he can't come over here and play. So I don't know what it looks like, but it's tough.
Laughing at age limitations.
Who's that?
Tom Mars.
Oh, definitely. I mean, there are attorneys all over the place.
And I think Tom Mars is trying to work with John Calipari because, out of the box, Tom Mars is a Razorback fan, native Arkansan. Mm-hmm. And he did help Ole Miss. I might be a statue built to Judge Whitwell someday. I don't know if it will be to Tom Mars, but it was a lot more fun having him with you than again you.
Oh, yeah.
But he's wanting to work with John Calipari on this. But he and the attorneys aren't going for any kind of manufactured thing like that.
Mm-mm. No, they're not. I mean, they
limitation.
Yeah, I mean, they lick their chops when they see stuff like this.
They do. Yeah,
I mean, the Pandora's box has been open, and I think it's really unfortunate. And these attorneys now have the avenues to go out there and they win. They go out there and they take these cases and they win the cases. And that's why you're seeing a lot of questions about eligibility, because it feels like LSU can do this. They can go out there and get whoever they want to get, bring them in. What's the NCAA going to do? Say they're ineligible? Okay, we'll fight it. We'll get a court, and we'll go there, and we'll see what they have to say, and we'll play our guy. I mean, it's wild out there right now.
Ben, let's be honest. What's really irritating about it is not that it's LSU. It's that it's Will Wade.
I mean, that certainly plays a
If it
a
were
in it.
The coach, if it were at Texas Tech, that it wouldn't be bothering us bad.
No, I think it would. I think it would.
Oh, do you?
I mean, I didn't have a problem with Nate Oates until he pulled the Bidiaka thing. I was fine with him.
Yeah.
I can't stand him now. I mean, I think that was a joke, and I think he's a joke. So, I mean,
And Sankey called him on it.
Sure, and I think he'll do the same here.
And probably lost some capital.
Yeah, no, I think he definitely did. I think he's going to do the same thing here with LSU. I think he's going to try to put his foot down and say that this isn't going to fly. But, you know, we'll see what happens, you know.
Yeah, we will. Remember when not as much you, questioning whether Mara Merritt, Michigan, would be in the draft. Yeah. He is shooting up the draft.
Oh, no. I had my questions as well with him. And it's, I mean, you know, you give Michigan a lot of credit.
They lost another player going to stay in the draft today.
Yeah, Merez Johnson, who was another guy that, I mean, just what those two guys did at the combine last week, super impressive. I mean, they just
did you see Dusty May all over town last weekend?
Oh, it was the who's who over the weekend of Division I coaches. It sounds like anybody and everybody was here. It was, I mean, I didn't go to Barbecue Fest. I didn't go to the EYBL event. I wanted to. The pricing to get into EYBL events are insane. And I
is that right?
Oh my gosh!
I hate to hear that.
I saw somebody post a picture of the price to park and price to get in for just one day. It's like $60-$70. I mean, it's insane. I mean, it's crazy
to watch pickup basketball.
To watch pickup basketball. That's exactly right. And it might not have been that high, but it was outrageous. I mean, I was like, because I thought about it, like I'll go out there one day and just check out.
Well,
some
my going days may be ending before I thought they were.
No way to get in. But I mean, Cal was in town, Shire was in town, Hurley was in. I mean, everybody was in town. If you're a big time college basketball coach, you were in Memphis over the weekend. So it sounded like down there in that area between Barbecue Fest and EYBL, it was a happening time.
World Cup in June is not cheap, but it's not as much as I'm hearing and seeing online. I'm not paying what I'm seeing a lot of people paying for tickets. I bought it just out there, but I got a pretty good deal on it.
Yeah, and that's the thing in what I find really intriguing.
Well, you tell me. I bought it for $185.
Yeah, no, I think that's really good. I think that's based on the matchup too. I mean, you know, I think if it was, you know, Spain and Argentina,
no way.
Like, you know,
it would have been
a ton of money.
And you know, and I wasn't going to try to go to Mexico City or even like Miami. And I'm really looking forward to Kansas City.
Yeah, no, I think that will be really fun. And so, yeah,
wasn't that bad. It wasn't cheap, but it wasn't that bad.
No.
And it's right there by
that's
Arrowhead and everything.
That's perfect. Yeah, I mean, I've kind of looked at a couple of the World Cup matchups to see if there's
Cardinal
one
friends
in
took
difference.
Care of me on Friday night.
Yeah, so man, that's easy. Well, that's easy.
Biggest Cardinal fan.
I
they know,
man.
Just.
They got to take care of you. They got to take care of you. So now I'm saying. I might have been wrong, Brett. Maybe I got duped by some of the EYBL prices because now I'm seeing maybe not as bad as I thought. But I'm going to test it. Next year, I'm going to go. I'm going to see how much it is, and I'm going to test
it. I'll go with you.
Okay.
I want to see, too.
Yeah, no, we'll see how much it is to get just one day to go watch EYBL here in Memphis. But let's go ahead and get to our final break of the day, and when we return, we'll wrap up today's show with Humdinger's Crunch Time.
Did you miss your favorite Sports 56 show?
No!
Check out the podcast, broken down hourly, at sports56whbq.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to like and subscribe. Never miss any Sports 56 show again with our podcasts available daily from Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Crunch Time is brought to you by Humdinger's Taco Tuesday. Enjoy crunchy slaw, grilled fish and chicken, and the best taco sauce in town. $2 tacos all day. The best deal in town.
Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
This is pretty cool, and we're just getting started.
Spanning the globe.
Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
This game has always been called the world's greatest cocktail party. Do you know what is going to happen here tonight?
This is for all the biggest crunch time.
You are looking live. In your life have you seen anything like that?
Crunch time between the hedges.
The ball game is over, and Memphis has its first win in 16 tries. Its first win ever against its fierce in-state rival, Tennessee.
Goodbye!
Obviously crunch time.
Hammer, nail, coffin, this baby is over.
It's Tuesday. That means Crunch Time is brought to you by Humdinger's Taco Tuesday and Humdinger's Corporate Catering. Enjoy tacos made with crunchy slaw, grilled fish and chicken, and the best taco sauce in town. And today, because it's Tuesday, $2 tacos all day long. The best deal in town. Find out more information, give Jenny Nash a call, 901-606-3172. Let them cater for you. Well, what I learned today is that we got a classic last night between the Thunder and the Spurs, and the Spurs looked like the more tough team. They looked like the more physically tough team, the more mentally tough team on the road in Oklahoma City. That arena was rocking last night. The fans turned out, and it really felt like the way that the Thunder came back in the fourth quarter, sent it into overtime, the way that overtime ended, it felt like, okay, at some point, the Spurs are going to get worn down, and the Thunder are going to have their fans behind them, and they're going to win this. But that wasn't the case at all. Victor Wembanyama stepped up. A couple of those other guys on the team stepped up, and now the Thunder have to look in the mirror and say, we're down 0-1, lost the first game at home. This is the first time we've been tested again. 4-0 in the first round, 4-0 in the last round. This is the first time they've been punched in the mouth this season by a team that really punched them in the mouth a lot throughout the regular season. So what type of adjustments will Oklahoma City make? We'll find out. Game 2 tomorrow night should be a blast.
What I learned is I loved what Wemby did last night because it sent everybody scurrying to the record books and learning more about the great Kareem Abdul-Jabbar that I think Michael Jordan's the best player ever, but I think you can make an argument that he was. And I know LeBron James in there. Kareem went 46 points, 25 rebounds in the playoffs in 1970. But like Wilt, nothing was really from outside 10, 12, 15 feet. He also went 40 and 20 at 22 in the 1970 finals. But Wemby's younger and his outside presence more prodigious. And he runs the floor better. We walked on the moon last night.
Yeah, no, it's incredible to watch what he does night in and night out. What I could have done without, I've talked about it enough, what LSU is doing with Will Wade, putting together this roster, multiple guys that have been drafted in the NBA, and RJ Lewis, who was in college basketball, had the opportunity to remain in college basketball, enter the transfer portal, go somewhere else, return to St. John's, and he made the decision when it felt like everybody was saying, no, man, you need to go back to college basketball. You'll make more money. You'll have an opportunity to make a bigger name for yourself if you return to college. He decided to go to the draft. It didn't work out in the NBA, and now he's trying to run back and play college basketball again. I mean, Will Wade's going to Will Wade. Cheating's in his blood, and he's doing it again. He came back into college basketball. The paying players is legal now, and so he said, how can I cheat the system now? And this is what he came up with, I guess.
He's letting it rip. I don't blame him. It's the rules. I may not like the rules. I could have done without poor Buffalo. Poor, pitiful, sad, cold Buffalo. And now I got bad news for all those drunks that dive into the tables at their tailgates. Josh Allen not going to the Super Bowl.
Wow. I understand more and more each day and each time I watch a Buffalo sporting event why they jump through the tables. I'd be jumping through the tables as well.
Might try head first.
Well, yeah.
Don't try that.
No, I wouldn't try that. But
it's like advocating what I was advocating yesterday.
Well,
don't try that.
You know, Brett, I've seen Buffalo fans jumping through burning tables, so I don't know how much worse going head first would be, honestly, because it is weird, some of the things they
get into.
I've
never had that much to drink to jump through
the table. No, definitely not a thought that I have ever had. Where are you beaming tonight?
The world's most famous arena at 7th and 8th Avenues and 31st through 33rd Street. Above Penn Station, the oldest arena in the NBA, named after President James Madison. All the stars out in Gotham tonight.
Yeah, you got to beam there. We'll see what these two teams look like. One team has had all the rest in the world. The other team, they had to go to Game 7 and win it on the road. It'll be fun to see how these two teams play, especially early.
Shirts off in St. Louis tonight. Brew Crew at Wrigley. First place on the line with the San Diego and the Dodgers.
Wow, yeah, going to be a lot of fun, a lot of baseball action, both Major League and all the conference tournament action, as well as NBA Game 1 in the Eastern Conference, 7 o'clock on ESPN. A lot to watch, but that's all the time we have. Enjoy the rest of your night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow afternoon.